How's it going, everybody? Today, I would like to present to you a lost episode. Back in August, me and Hat recorded a barcast that, for whatever reason, didn't upload. So, I went looking for it, and I found it. So, this is a August barcast, which is going to be one of two barcasts that I'm putting out this week. You're going to get this one today, and you're going to get the next one on Friday. And on Wednesday, you are going to get my thoughts on Dune, the new Denis Villeneuve film based off the Frank Herbert book of the same name, and starring Timothée Chalamet and a whole host of other people that are really good at what they do. So, yes, so enjoy this podcast. See you on Friday for the next one, and then enjoy the ad.
How you been, man?
Doing pretty good.
So, what you been up to?
Recently, getting Saints Row 2 to work on my computer.
Oh, nice. Wait, Saints Row 2.
2.
I remember 2 being a decent one.
2 is the best one.
Okay. Because I think it's that point where it's like they're... Saints Row was a GTA ripoff.
Yeah.
One, I'm talking about, yeah, like, don't get me wrong, like, it's a sandbox game, so, like, it comes with the territory, but...
Saints Row 1 did...
But Saints Row 2 was like, hey, let's be the fun, like, oh, yeah. Like, just fun, wacky, like, but not too wacky, but just, like that, the key word in that's, like, once you get to, I think, Saints Row 3, like, the word 2 gets in there a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, too much of this, so...
No, well... I wouldn't say there's too much. It's just excess.
Yeah. Okay. It's a model, but yeah.
All right. Anyway, I was saying there's nothing wrong with the things in Saints Row. Anyway, Saints Row had a lot of the things that Saints Row 2 had.
Yeah.
Like the three gangs.
Yeah.
And the wackiness. In fact, there's very few core changes from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
It's just improved.
Yeah. Okay.
Overall, much, much, much improved.
Mm-hmm.
From 1 to 2.
Food? Just having drinks?
What is the bar? Is the kitchen still open, or?
Yeah, that's why I asked if you wanted food.
Oh, yes, please.
We are sold out of the stuffed shells, but it is crossed off, and the prime rib, I believe, we're out of also tonight. Something to drink?
What do I have?
Do you have anything on tap that's like particular this week or?
Particular this week?
Yeah, specials or?
We have a Lion and Crumble Summer Shandy is kind of a seasonal beer. Stella, Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light. We have Goose Island IPA. We have Fat Tire. Just a second.
You know what, I'll do the Lion and Crumble.
Lion and Crumble?
Yep.
Thanks, Stella.
So, how many Saints Rows were there?
There was 1, 2, 3.
Three.
Then it gets kind of murky for what you count as a new game and not DLC.
Well, if you count every DLC, I think there's like let's say one DLC is 0.1 or whatever, like, because...
No, what I mean is that there's... Like Saints Row 4, I don't know, it's either Saints Row 4 or, is Saints Row 4 the one with, like, your president and aliens invade and whatnot?
Yeah, I think so, okay, yeah.
That was so short that people thought it was a DLC. And it's called Saints Row 4 or the 4th, I forget even. I didn't play that one. I was so thoroughly disgusted by the series after 3 and the DLC for 3 that I just, so anyway...
Mm-hmm.
New Saints Row was announced. A reboot. And they say that they're taking a lot of the good things from everything and they're rebooting.
Well, that's the intention of every single sequel. I mean...
This one's like, we're going to do it like Saints Row 2, and we're going to do this other stuff from, like, the good stuff from the other games.
Okay.
And I don't believe them, and nobody believes them. And...
Well, is it the same developers, or is it new
developers? Volition is shit, though.
Okay.
Vision Volition has been shit for a long time.
Well, if they have the easy task of just take what worked in the one game,
Yeah, they had from three on to do that, and they fucked it up every time. It's like Saints Row 2 is great.
Did anyone leave the company?
Oh, tons of people. Since 2 or since 3? When? It's been a long time.
Well, because I don't attribute Saints Row to... like you know how like Metal Gear Solid was Hideo Kojima. Like,
yeah. There's no standout that I know of.
Like Miyamoto at Nintendo. I mean, I don't know what
Miyamoto is more.
He was Mario. But I'm trying to think of like because he with Miyamoto it was he had a senior role for several other developers. I think I'm not giving him credit, but I'm just saying like he was in the room when I think it was either Zelda or it was Metroid was being developed.
I want to say Zelda.
Did Zelda predate Mario?
Predate? No.
Not Donkey Kong, but Mario.
I'm pretty sure Super Mario Brothers came out before Zelda.
Thank you. Thanks. Do you know what you're getting, or...?
Get some fries.
Just french fries?
Yeah.
Can I get an order of wings, please?
Hot, mild?
Hot.
Plain? Hot buffalo? Dipping sauce? Blue cheese?
I'm good on that front, but just hot wings, please. And
okay. Ranch? Dipping sauce?
Yeah, ranch. Actually, ranch, yeah, ranch. Why not?
Ranch. I'm almost positive that the... They came out similar time.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that the old Duck Hunt Super Mario combo cartridge came out before the Golden Zelda cartridge.
Yeah. Like, it's before my time, and I never looked it up, so I couldn't tell you. But, like, I know that they were, like, same decade. Like, that's the best I could do.
Oh, yeah. Definitely same decade.
But the, well... Thank you, guys. Now, are you trying to retrofit your computer for, like...
No, it's just... Okay, so the Saints Row 2 port for the PC came out broken, and it was never fixed.
So you're doing it yourself?
Well, no. So, kind of a sad story. The community manager for Volition...
Yeah.
...for years and years took it upon himself to make a mod to fix Saints Row 2.
I feel like that man should be given a medal.
Yeah, he is well-loved. And he died yesterday.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Yesterday. I found this out because I reinstalled Saints Row 2, and I was trying to find the mod for the fix.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it, and I found a bunch of other threads talking about how he died yesterday. So,
I had something like that happen. I forget... What really annoys me is like, I know the feeling you're talking about when you're like, oh, what's he up to? It's like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought about him and he died.
So, like, I'm trying to think like what the circumstances were, but it.
Wait, for the thing you're talking about, or?
Well, for mine, yeah, but like yours, like I'm kind of, I kind of get the gist of it, so.
Yeah. If I am correct, he died of cancer.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That sucks. The departed.
Yeah.
Cheers, by the way.
Cheers.
So, last week I was in Nashville.
Did you eat any of their, chicken?
I had two opportunities and I didn't do it.
You failed me.
No, it was a timing issue. I was only going to do it on the first day.
Mm.
I wasn't doing hot chicken the day before I left. And I wasn't.
Why not?
Well, because I had to be at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Just eat a whole bunch of spicy hot chicken and then trap yourself in a car for 12 hours.
And the other thing, well, it was an airplane, for one, and I have had no desire to be on plane.
I think they have some kind of, like, biological... classification for what would probably happen.
Yeah, it's calling your asses on fire for the next 2 days. So,
Code Brown.
Didn't make it in the first day, but then I've discovered that Prince's and Hattie B's are in the same building. Which, I don't know if you know the names.
No.
Hattie B's is the more famous one, but Prince's is the one that is as good. But the issue, though, is Nashville is one of those cities that's like... It's like Philadelphia or L.A. It's wider than it is tall. So certain spots like are very conducive to partying in Nashville, and it's mostly downtown. However, it's mostly Broadway, but even then, there's really cool spots because Nashville has actual historic things that have been like kind of preserved because... up the road from Broadway is Printer's Alley, which is literally an alley, and it's got ties to Prohibition and all that. There was this one bar that everybody else in my family hated, but I really enjoyed just going into a basement and back alley, smells like your grandfather took a piss in there like 50 years ago. And it was like real country music where they're like playing like bluegrass and because that was the other thing I realized going from place to place. I knew Nashville had live music in every bar. I didn't realize they had three bands in every bar.
At the same time?
Yeah, because there would be a band on the first floor, band on the second floor, band on the rooftop. And then, yep, because rooftop bars are pretty common over there. There was a couple of spots I went to that didn't have live music, but the one was a steakhouse in a hotel, and I really, really want to get friends together one time to do a hotel bar hop, where it's like, all right, we're not going to any pubs, we're not going to any Applebee's, we're going from hotel bar to hotel bar. Wear a collared shirt or something. You don't have to be completely dressed up, but don't schlub it. So that's one thing I want to do. But on the 34th floor of the JW Marriott, it's a view that's 360 degrees of all of Nashville. Exciting, spectacular. Whatever those words are that you say for good views, but I tried about four local bourbons.
Nice.
Ballymead, Greenbrier Patch, I think was another one. I tried a local beer. I wasn't too high up on that one because it was called Yazoo Hefeweizen, and one of the things I regret not doing. Was I was gonna go into a liquor store and just if they had singles, just really improve my bottle cap collection and just find local breweries. Didn't do that. Mm-hmm. In fact, at one point we were gonna have the hotel room be the hangout spot, and some people were like, "No, that's too tacky" or whatever. And I was like, "We walked from Broadway. That was Party Central. It was too busy." Then we walked past Printer's Alley, but we didn't turn right because no one wanted to go back down there. Now we're at the hotel, so it's either I'm drinking or I'm going to sleep. So, what are we doing here, people? And they're like, "Oh, see ya." And I was like, the homeless situation in Nashville, by the way, well, before I forget about it. You'd be just walking along. There's the Country Music Hall of Fame. Okay. There's a guy sleeping in the dirt at the Country Music Hall of Fame. And then, homeless people down south are a different type than New York kind. New York kind, they just sit around. They don't want, New York doesn't want anything to do with you. They were sitting on their phones just checking things, whatever, and then you walk by Nashville, it's they'll tap you on your shoulder. It's like, "Hey, can I get $5? I was like, "Really?"
They're real go-getters in Nashville.
Oh, yeah. But it was so much fun. The food was incredible. I had the I'm going to qualify as saying top five of lifetime fried chicken. I went to this one place that I actually saw it on the news one time. Like, you know how, check out this place or whatever that was a bowling alley and...
Like a Good Eats kind of thing?
Yeah. Like a Good Eats or like something that you... Like, I remember hearing about this, like, in a news report. Like, not on TV, but, like, actually, like, on my phone. It was, like, Pinewood Social. The place is a bowling alley in the back. But they took some of the lanes and turned them into, like, tables and, like, the trophies that were in the bowling alley are, like, on display.
This is going to be hot. Like, temperature hot and spice hot.
Perfect.
So I was talking about Volition.
Yep.
So the Twitter account for this new sketchy reboot of Saints Row that, oh, by the way, looks a lot like Fortnite, has just been going off, completely ruining PR by just insulting everybody because nobody's happy with the news that has come out about this new Saints Row. Because it looks like Fortnite. And instead of, you know, positive public relations, the Twitter account decided, hey, we're an Epic exclusive, and Tim Sweeney already bought everybody a copy. So we don't need public relations. So fuck it. And it's just been an absolute dick to everybody. Almost on the level of, what, you guys don't have phones? Maybe it's an elaborate April Fool's joke. I'm not sure. So that's what spurred me to re-download Saints Row 2. Oh, what really got me to do it was somebody was trying to say to me, it's like, you know what would be great if they took all of the good parts from Saints Row 3 and all of the good parts from Saints Row 2 and put them together. Mm-hmm. It's like, because something in the middle there would be fantastic. And I'm like, so, what's good in Saints Row 3?
I feel like, no. Saints Row, like, really did, like, did the basic things to differentiate itself from Grand Theft Auto.
I think Saints Row threw things at a wall to try to be, like, a GTA clone.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had some ideas and realized, hey, these things make us really unique. Let's solidify those and refine them, and then Saints Row 2 happened. And which is why you saw their comeback of the three gangs and a whole lot of the more zany type characters. But all of it was still grounded in reality. Well, more so than three, where you're parachuting onto hotel rooms and have nuke pistols and sound barrier guns.
Like I said, little things that differentiated itself from GTA.
Yeah.
Like the amount of customization that you could apply to your own character.
There was... Okay, that's another topic entirely. There's so much customization. Yep. I'm replaying it now on stream, and there's... I'm just like, oh yeah, you can do that. And oh yeah, you can do that. And like, I went through... I took a random car, I took it to the shop, and I changed every single thing about it. Mm-hmm. And you can do that for every car.
I know. That's why, like, that was one of the things that it was very basic, but you could do
you
it.
You can buy socks. You can buy socks. You can customize your socks.
Mm-hmm.
You have an undershirt, underwear, overshirt, and coat. And accessories. It's there's so much customization. Saints Row is the customization game.
Yep.
You can customize your gang, you can customize your crib, you can customize everything. You can collect, there's so many cars in the game. And they're all really different, like, behind the wheel, you can tell what car you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
On stream, I was like, Oh yeah, I forgot. There's even an entire tattoo shop.
Now, are you talking about Steam or Stream?
Stream. I was streaming it.
Okay.
To people.
Because I was trying to be sure of something before we continued.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that, like, either you developed a
speech impediment? I did buy it on Steam.
Either you have, developed something where your E's become re, or...
I'm just re-ing all over the place. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Dude, you want some?
Sure.
Take some. I haven't eaten anything, so I'm getting a burger after this, too.
Oh, okay. I can just go through the ways that 2 is superior to 3.
Mm-hmm.
The storylines. The fact that there's more than one storyline. The side missions.
Now, do you remember Mafia? Not the card game, but the similar thing where it's like a sandbox playing game or whatever.
I remember...
It's a series.
I remember it was around, and I never really played it until Mafia 3.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I played the Godfather game instead of Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
The Godfather game was surprisingly good. That was another thing. It was a lot of, territory control, and, now I have this shop, and this shop makes me money. And Saints Row 2 is all about that. You have to defend your turf every now and then, and it generates you money. So you're highly encouraged to take over Stillwater. Anyway, Saints Row 2 is fantastic. Saints Row 3 is a straight downgrade. Whether or not it's still, an okay game, I had fun playing 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I just could not, replay 3.
Yeah.
I would just go back and play 2 again, like I am now.
Yeah. So, before I forget about it, how do you keep up with, stuff that's not exactly brought over here yet that's subtitled, or, with new anime, are you just, going online and just seeing what's good, or?
So, from season to season?
Yeah.
I'll either, pick at random something and say, that might be good. Let me watch some of it. It's terrible. And then go on to another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody will recommend me something through the grapevine and I'll start watching that. I started watching this one called Vivi Fluoride Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had seen it around, mm-hmm. and it has a very, idle, poppy kind of poster.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw everybody talking about, you seen a new episode of Vivi?
Now,
it was so good.
Is that the Wonder Egg one, or is that something different?
That's different.
I know which one you're talking about.
Vivi Florida Eyes with the blue-haired chick on the cover? Yeah.
Well, that, and also because she's a AI robot that... idol, and she has to go to the past or the future.
No.
She has to go back to the past.
No.
Okay, so basically, it was something about singing, and she.
Yes.
I know what one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my two, the one you recommended, which was To Your Eternity, I check in with that one. I picked one out at random that looked good. And I was and I wasn't disappointed with the first episode, which was 86.
Oh, right. I did see people talking about that.
It's... your first thought is, this can't be good. Then you realize, oh shit, this has potential, and I haven't finished it.
You guys still wondering, do you want to order any other food?
I am going to get a cheeseburger, please, if the kitchen is still open.
What type of cheese you want? Cheddar, American?
Cheddar is fine.
Cheddar,
yes.
Medium?
Medium, yes.
Lettuce, tomato, onion?
Nah, none of that.
Just
none
of that?
Nah.
Could I get the same?
Okay, and it comes with fries too, you know that, right?
I'll get more fries.
You want onion rings? You want to switch it up?
I forgot about onion rings.
Alright.
Thank you.
Thank you. Medium, right?
Yes.
Cheeseburger, medium, cheeseburger, medium.
So, one of the issues I had was I heard something was coming out, and I was like, "Oh, I'll just wait for it. I'll watch it on the thing that I watched it on the first time it came out."
Yeah.
So, first time I saw Megalobox. Mm-hmm. It was on Crunchyroll.
Okay.
And I saw it. I was like, all right, I'll check this one out. And that one had me hooked to the point where, like, when it premiered on Saturday mornings, I got up at the 10 minutes before, got on the PS5, put it on Crunchyroll. That's how I watched it on Crunchyroll. Like, so.
No, you watched it on your PS5.
Yeah. So, which, by the way, did you hear Crunchyroll got bought out by Sony?
I did. I heard that.
And they're turning into one thing. I don't know if it's going to be Funimation or if it's just going to be a new thing. So, Megalobox Season 2, I was like, when's that coming out? I was like, oh, coming out in April. I was like, wait a second. Go on Crunchyroll, can't get it. Go online. It's like, where can I watch this? It's like, oh, Funimation. It's like, son of a bitch. But the, I saw the trailer for it, man. I was so hype, I could have, like, I could have ran through a wall at that point. It was like, let's go. Let's watch this. Like, that's...
Megalobox is definitely on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten around to it yet. What I use to, like, download anime...
Yeah.
...is a program called Taiga.
Yep.
It will... It, like, you track what episode I'm on of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll, tracks what episode I'm on, and it'll download episodes for me. I can also just search an anime on it and add it to my currently watching. Or, you know, my anime list?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know... Any list?
I imagine I'm familiar with it.
Okay, you can sync up either one of those to Taiga, and it'll just keep a record. It'll auto update your anime list. Currently watching, plan to watch, dropped, this rating. I plan to watch this series, and when it starts airing, start downloading it.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. It also, like, you click on the anime, like, from your list from Taiga,
mm-hmm.
and it'll say, like, play next episode. You don't even have to, like, sort your folders, which it will do for you. When it downloads a new anime, it'll say, I'm downloading Dragon Maid. I will make a new folder called Dragon Maid, and I will put all the Dragon Maid folders in there.
I really want to check out that series, because I started, and I just, like, I can't start something after 11 o'clock. Because if it's a weekday, and it's after 11, and I start watching something, I will fall asleep. And then, I will wake up, and I'm 6 episodes in, because I slept through for 3 hours.
It won't autoplay, but I have the opposite problem. Or if I start watching something at 11 o'clock...
You'll finish it?
I'll finish it.
I've only ever done that once.
I do it all the time.
So...
And I get no sleep for work the next day.
One of the greatest shows that no one knows about on Netflix... if you ever get a chance... It stars Jonah Hill and Emma Stone. It's called Maniac.
Mm-hmm.
So, first couple episodes are kind of slow. It's a little bit world-building, but then... you realize, all right, I like these people. Emma Stone's interesting. She's playing a troubled girl that's, like, looking to get in on a drug thing because, like, the drugs she's been taking are from the head scientist's, like rebellious son. Mm. Then the other guy, Jonah Hill, he's trying to get better in life. He's got some issues to deal with or whatever. He's just trying to get better in life. Again, he can't deal with people too much. Well, they take this drug experiment where they live completely different lives in their heads based off with the stimulation of the drugs and all that. I think it's like 8 episodes, but I started at 11 o'clock at night on December 23rd because it was Christmas weekend. I watched the first 3 episodes with my dad. I think he watched 1 episode, then he went to bed, and then I just stayed up till 4 in the morning till I was done. And it was that good. Like you know when you're up and you're, like, sore from being up?
I have insomnia. None of this is new to me.
I know it's nothing new to you, but like, I'm just describing it for the audience. When when you're watching something, you can feel your optic nerve in the back of your head. Like, your shoulders are aching because your neck isn't...
You haven't been up a long time until it hurts to turn your eyes. Not blink. You stopped that hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts to, like, look left or look right.
Last time I felt that, it was beating Mega Man X. Just like game over, game over, game over. Oh, you beat it.
Mm.
It's like, oh, how long have I been here? It's like...
8 hours.
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
Speaking of Netflix.
Yeah.
Cowboy Bebop.
I have hope for it.
Why? Why would you have hope for it? Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I've been waiting on this damn thing for 3 years.
Doesn't mean it's going to be good.
Nope.
But in fact, the new release, the teaser stuff that's come out, only hints at it being bad.
Yep.
So, they put out some promo pictures.
Yep.
Did you see them?
Mm-hmm.
So,
they made Jet Young.
And Black.
I'll give him that one. He was racially ambiguous from the first.
What?
Listen, he was white, but he was like that kind of white where it's like, is he Japanese white or is he like black white?
It's an anime. That means they're Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a literal cowboy who was blonde.
Mm-hmm.
That's the not Japanese guy. Jet, the hard...
Blackhound or something?
Yeah, Blackhound, I think it was. I was going to say Noir Detective.
Yeah.
Not noir, black.
Yeah.
He was playing the grizzled, let's call it a Hong Kong action star.
Yep.
It's like Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
All of those people in Avatar are easily identifiable as not Indian. Anyway. That's not even the big thing. I don't really care. I mean, it's dumb. There's a billion actors they could have picked to play Jet, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even my complaint.
Well, go with your complaint first.
Faye.
Too thick or too not enough skin?
So the problem isn't even that she's covered up. The problem isn't how risque she is or isn't.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that she's not Faye. Faye does not... Faye... Okay. To say what is and isn't Faye...
Mm-hmm.
In this swarm of obfuscation thrown up by Netflix...
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares. Actually, the actress looks pretty good.
Mm.
Like, the actress herself, the person, she could be Faye. I could easily believe that she's Faye.
Mm-hmm.
The wardrobe department is the criminal here.
Yeah.
Mostly because Faye manipulates people with her
Yeah.
Feminine wiles. Mm-hmm. That's a constant and ever-present thing with Faye.
That'll be toned down.
It'll, not toned down. It'll be gone.
Do you want another one? I'm gonna wait for my burger.
Thank you.
How about if I take those menus off the table, you guys get some more room? Alright, I'll grab it.
I didn't want to make you do that, but...
That's alright. I know you've got stuff on your hands there.
Well, I'm careful to only eat with this hand when it swings. I always have like a... But like,
what hand? Dry hand?
Yeah, this is a glass hand. This is the...
That's pretty smart. Yeah.
I get accused of that sometimes.
So...
There's two left. You want one of them?
Yeah, sure. So Faye's entire character, and well-reasoned that her character is the way she is completely antithetical to that costume. She's completely covered up. She has a holster plainly visible on her hip.
Mm-hmm.
You never see Faye with a gun until it's in your face.
Good point.
That is my main complaint. Faye's character, through her costume, is being assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, second point to do with her costume and her character. Faye spends a lot of time in really weird and seedy bars looking like some kind of either lounge lizard or prostitute. Mm-hmm. And she does this for reasons. Reasons being to blend in, or to get information, or to catch somebody off guard. These are there's practical reasons for the way that Faye looks, developed through Faye's probably trial and error in trying to get through, you know, day-to-day life in a galaxy in which she's a weird hybrid state. What's the word? And it's completely antithetical to what she looks like. She looks like just another bounty hunter.
What? You're getting called. Go that way. That way. I got buffalo sauce in my hands. You don't want this.
Anyway, now this, like, if you put her and Jet together, you think, okay, they're just changing everything. I guess they don't really care, and it's just gonna be that. But then you get to Spike,
mm-hmm.
and Spike is so perfect that it literally looks like they've stuck an actor's head on a cartoon. Spike's clothes aren't just perfect, they look cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
You put Faye next to that, and it now looks malicious.
Mm. Yeah, let me clean my hands first.
Hey, Lex.
Did she bother you guys? No. Come on. Come here, Lex. Come here. Come on. Come on, over here, girl.
Over here.
Come on. Over here.
Anyway. Hopefully we know where there's interruptions.
I don't know. I have a fondness for dogs. They help. Like, I understand it.
I'm fine with dogs.
I understand.
I have a very high bar for dogs, though. I expect a lot.
Well. I'm still mentally dealing with this, but, like, my dog, who's had cancer for the last 2 years, he's scheduled to get put down on the 8th, and even talking about it right now, it hurts.
Mm.
So,
I had to put that
my cat down not too long ago.
Oh, shit, man. Sorry for your loss.
You're pretty old.
Well, cat's going to be, what, 15, 20 years?
I think it depends on the cat.
Does the Mutt rule still apply to cats?
Maybe.
Because, like, I think it's
just tabby now.
Well, because if there's so many cats that, like, aren't pure breeds that are just, like, regular house cats, but, We had a Mutt that was part Labrador, part, I don't know, short legs, no tail, but definitely something lab, part, I don't know, terrier, I don't know.
I think there are just less breeds of cat.
I don't know about that.
Less designated breeds of cat. Like, if you really wanted to get down to it, you'd probably divide calico into, like, 30 breeds of cat. I don't know.
I used to work for, you know when they do the rabies shot for pets at, like, say, a local firehouse or whatever? It's like the free rabies clinic. Well, dogs have breeds. Cats, long hair, short hair.
Yeah.
Long hair, short hair. Like, that's what it gets to.
There's definitely breeds of cats.
Like, there's definitely breeds of cats. It's just that the typical house cat, long hair or short hair?
Tabby, calico, no hair. Yeah, long hair, short hair, tabby, calico. I think those are, like, your normal people, like, classifications of cats.
Alright. So... All right, so Spike.
Yeah, now, he looks cartoonish.
Yep, but
he's so perfect.
So okay, I don't know if they've done anything like else for TV, but the two of the showrunners or two of the guys in charge is like Kyle Yost and it's like Yost and God damn it, they used to write for comics and then. Like comic books. They used to like write on Marvel, which I was a fan of their work. But they also, I feel like the, I know it wasn't the, I think they wrote on a Marvel movie. I'm not sure which one. I was going to say Thor Dark World, but I know those same writers as.
It's not high praise.
It's not high praise, but the Kyle Yost and Christopher, God damn it. So.
You finished with this for now?
Yes.
Very good.
So, the, but, and plus, like, damn it, I don't know, I forget her name, too, but she's, like, a really good writer, that she was one of the writers on it as well, because they brought in comics people for the writing staff.
For what?
Cowboy Bebop.
Western comic people?
Yep, fans of the show. But Shinichiro Watanabe was a executive, or he was a consulting producer on the show, so.
Yeah, so was George Lucas.
Well, listen. Like I said, I still have hope.
There's more.
Well, the other, have you noticed that there's only three cast members pictured?
Oh yeah.
Or listed.
There's not a hint of Radical Edward.
Yeah. So.
Oh, Ayn's there.
Ayn's there, but Ed is not. So, either they are holding on to Ed.
Oh, they must be holding on to a doozy.
Like, do you think Ed's going to be CG?
I think Ed's going to be a guy.
Actually, I'm kind of okay with that because Ed, even though she was like, I'm a girl or something, like, really early on, they were like, Ed's a girl? Like, when the later episodes.
Yeah.
So, they're just going to have, like, because that show.
You do realize in the episode that. They introduce Ed.
Yeah.
Ed says that she's a girl.
Yeah. And they don't believe her. Or they don't notice.
No, not right away.
Yeah. So.
It's not like they dispute it.
When. Because I've been slowly rewatching that series.
Uh-huh.
And. How do I explain this? Given today's climate.
Yeah.
And values.
Uh-huh.
Like. To westernize or live action for the first time.
Unless you're Spike.
Well, no. Like, that show is like a Hollywood of today's wet dream of adaptations to
It's like, they why? Get, well, because you have like Ed, who's clearly going to be non-binary in the show.
Oh yeah.
Then you have.
I bet they get the guy that played Sheldon.
Jim Parsons as Ed. That'd be awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
I'm being facetious.
It would be hilarious, but.
So then you have. Do you remember the one episode where the guy that served with Vicious in the army?
Yeah.
Was trans, but like or hermaphrodite or something.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Hermaphrodite.
Which it was a 2-part episode. And I only watched the first part of it. That's where I stopped. That's how I remember this.
That's the
The saxophone player.
That's I'm trying to remember the name of the episode. I don't think the episodes were called Julia. Well, it was that or I don't know. But that's when they were using Julia's name for the drug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The
another perfect example
right.
of Faye fitting into that bar.
Yeah.
That sleazy bar.
Yeah.
Where she wouldn't so that's another point to why it's important. She does not fit into those scenes. If you were to either write it now, where those scenes are the same but she doesn't fit, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or they change the scenes to match Faye.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Your burger's just about to come out.
Actually, you know what? I'm driving, so iced tea, please, if you could.
Unsweetened or sweetened?
Unsweetened.
Did you need sweetener to add to it?
Nah, I like my tea unsweetened.
Okay.
Thank you.
And do you want another Stella?
Can I get water?
Water?
Yeah. So, those wings were good. Like,
they were good, yeah.
Hot wings and a cold beer.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, a little bit of sweetness to counteract the... Because, like, I don't know what he put on there. He put hot sauce, which was regular Frank's, with, like, a little bit of red hot pepper flakes, but there was like either a cayenne or a chili powder or something salty on there too.
Might have been salt.
Yeah, but like it was definitely salt, but it was also
savory.
Yeah, it had a savoriness to it. So,
did it have an umami taste?
I actually have umami powder in my house.
I also have umami powder.
I want to make burgers with it so bad.
I've been making burgers with it.
Like the first time I told a friend at a barbecue, I was like, hey, save me some meat so that I can make my own burgers, and he was like, sure.
Why don't you just go buy some meat?
Well, because that was his thing. I was like, we both just like split up. All right, I'm bringing this and this, and then you got this. Okay, so thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Finish with that.
So, I get to his house, all the burgers are pressed. I was like, you bastard. So I took some of the umami powder, I just like coated it on the burgers, and it didn't do the trick as I would have liked.
Yeah, no, it's not.
You got to mix it in there so that when it cooks, you get the taste of it.
Yeah. So let me tell you about the burgers I made yesterday.
Okay.
So, on Thursdays, we play D&D. And I make food because I've been making. I've been doing a lot more cooking. And so yesterday I made. It was ground beef. It was like 3 pounds of ground beef, 2 pounds of diced onion, and like you know umami powder. And. That turned out all right. It tasted good.
Okay.
But I tried to pan sear them. First I tried to sous vide them.
Tried sous vide burgers.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm curious.
You can absolutely do it. So here's how. You sous vide them, and then you sear them in a pan.
Those are great directions, man. I mean, anybody could do it.
Literally anybody can do it.
What'd you have them set to on the sous vide?
140. It's the medium temperature.
Okay. For how long?
You could do it as little as 1 hour, I think. Depending on thickness, if you got some thick boys, try like 2 hours is safer, but you can leave them in there for up to 3 hours. There's also the pasteurization temperature and time, which I'm not super familiar with, but is also somewhere around there. So like you could pasteurize them and eat them at a rare temperature.
I'm not a huge fan of, like, I don't think I've ever had, like, beef where it's, like that, like.
Okay, beef or ground beef?
Oh, specifically ground beef, okay. Because you could have.
Yeah, nobody does, because that's not a safe thing to do. But in a sous vide.
Well, here's what, the reason why I bring that up, supposedly, because, like, say you're hunting, you go deer hunting.
Yeah.
If you shoot a deer and you can eat some of that venison raw because it's not been butchered, it hasn't been processed or anything. It's, like, one consistent. I don't know if the same rule applies to, like beef, where.
Here's the thing.
You can have beef, like, tartare raw, but.
Yes. That's prepared in a particular way. The thing about ground beef is that. The outside of meat collects bacteria. So when you sear the outside of meat, you kill the bacteria, and the meat is now safe to eat. When you put meat through a grinder, all of the everything gets mixed together. So the middle of a burger will be no different from the outside of the burger. And thus all the bacteria and all the whatever's are all throughout the meat. So you must cook the meat to a certain temperature to kill everything throughout. However, you know how milk is pasteurized to kill bacteria and whatnot? They set it to a temperature and they leave it like that for a while. And pasteurization can happen with anything. Have you ever seen somebody make like cookie dough dip? That's with pasteurized flour and eggs. And the way you pasteurize eggs is you essentially hard boil them, except they're not hard. And the temperature is way below boiling. And that kills the bacteria in it. It's set to just enough temperature to kill the bacteria. And pretty much nothing else. It might cook a little bit. Its consistency will definitely change, but it'll be safe to eat raw, quote unquote. The same thing can be done for most things. There's charts you can find online to see the temperature and time to per weight of whatever you're trying to pasteurize, like chicken or fish. Like sushi. Sushi needs to be freeze-dried before you can use it for sushi. Because at a certain low enough temperature, I think, it also kills the bacteria.
Well, with sushi, you also got to worry about is, I don't know if it's trichinosis, but it, like when you eat sushi, you got to watch out for worms.
Yeah.
Because supposedly, I would imagine every bit of fish gets freeze-dried.
Yes.
Regardless of whether it's the winter or if it's summer, but it's especially in the summer, then you got to watch out for that. Because if you go to, I would imagine that they freeze dry it for you at the fishmonger.
The fishermen bring the fish in.
Yeah.
And either you buy it right off the boat, or it gets freeze dried.
So if you buy it off the boat, you got to freeze dry it yourself.
Well. If you're confident in it. No, people do this.
I know people do it. This is how people get worms from eating sushi.
Yeah, so. It's true. And there's also people who don't. It is a chance. It is not a guarantee. But it is not a chance most people are willing to take.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, you sous vide a burger.
Yeah.
You could make patties. Put them in a you put them in a Ziploc bag, honestly. But I use a vacuum pack. Most people would vacuum pack it.
Yeah, because if you leave air in there, it expands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because it'll float.
Yeah.
So what I've been doing is I put it in the vacuum bag. I seal it. And then I squish it all out into one flat thing where the burger meat goes from corner to corner of the vacuum pack bag. Mm-hmm. Like a big square.
Yeah.
One even patty. And then I sous vide it. At like 135, 137, 140. Generally for about 2 hours. And then when I take it out, I just cut it into square patties. And then I sear it. I use a cast iron.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets a nice little bit of color on the outside. Another method would be to use a blowtorch.
Yep.
Or a grill. I have all three. I've been going with the pan sear,
mm-hmm.
generally because it's faster.
Now, out of curiosity, mm-hmm. when you do burgers, like suppose you put the when you seal it in the bags, it's in a ball form.
Yeah.
Now, can you do a smash burger and just sear it that way, or is it double cooking at that point? I'm just asking out of curiosity.
Okay. Let me restate that.
Okay.
No, I don't cook it as a ball. I cook it as a patty.
Okay. Well, like the way you're describing it makes me think of a steak burger more so than a.
You're not far off. One thing that people say about vacuum packing a burger is to do it very gently.
I would imagine.
Because you don't want to compact the meat.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really care. It's not terribly important to me that the burger maintains peaks and ridges, I guess let's call them.
Yeah.
Unless I'm cooking it on a grill, because that's when it matters. Any other time, if I'm doing a pan sear, the peaks and ridges are just going to make it an uneven sear.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm using a blowtorch, those peaks and ridges are just going to burn.
Yeah.
If I'm doing it on a grill, then it's, it's a completely different story. So what I did was, I took my 3 pounds of meat, mixed with 2 pounds of onion, mm-hmm. diced onion, and umami powder. Put it in a bag,
mm-hmm.
flattened the whole thing out. So it was a big, long, 10-inch by 20-inch rectangle patty.
Mm-hmm.
And I sous vide that. And it was thick. So I... this is where the troubles began.
Okay.
So, I have a... my sous vide is called an Anovo Nano.
Mm-hmm.
And it does an okay job
mm-hmm.
with my smaller container that is not 10 by 20 inches. I have another container that is 10 by 20 inches
mm-hmm.
that requires a lot of water to fill.
Well, isn't a sous vide like a thermometer that can heat itself up so it's aware of what temperature it is?
It's a really weird way to say it, but you're not wrong.
Okay, so what I'm saying though is like
it heats water.
It would take longer.
Yes.
But as long as it stays at the temperature that you want it to be at for the amount of time.
Oh, it'll keep it there.
Okay.
It's getting there.
Ah, that's a.
It was moving like 0.2 every 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it would heat up a little quicker than that because I was going to serve these in like 2 hours.
How much time did you have?
So they were at temperature for about an hour.
So about half the time that you wanted it to be?
Yes. And I started way earlier in the day. It's like, this is probably going to need a lot of time to heat up. Boy, did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing there before people show up, like, boiling water on the stove, and then adding it back to the sous vide container, watching the number come up, taking the water out of the sous vide container, boiling it, putting it back in, for a good while. And then it came out, and I was like, this still doesn't look quite done.
Wouldn't it have been just, like, quicker to, I'm just spitballing here, boil water first, put it into the container that you were going to be using to cook the burgers, put the sous vide in there, set the temperature so that it was going down, not up?
No. Absolutely not.
I'm just asking because, I'm trying to think of, like, what's closer to the temperature you're trying to get. Like,
I was going for 140.
Room temperature or boiling,
and
which
boiling
is, 200?
212 is boiling.
Okay.
And it was getting close to 212. I was letting it do, like, almost a rolling boil. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, like, 207, 210. Mm-hmm. 2010.
Oh, 2010.
Yeah,
nice.
2010.
Those burgers cooked real quick.
Yeah. Some amazing water there. Anyway, so that happened. And I was like, well, I guess I need to actually cook these now in the pan. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a pan sear. I was just cooking them.
Well, you didn't... did you at least have a pan hot for...
Yes, yeah.
I don't just, like, 30 seconds each side, me personally.
These were, like, this thick.
I know, but, like,
they need to cook through.
I know that. Well, they're halfway cooked, so...
And it wasn't, like, the full time of making a burger, no.
Yeah, so, I would have done 30 seconds each side. Whatever burger I was eating, I would open that one up and see where that one was at.
After 30 seconds?
Each side. On a hot pan.
That's not enough time for the thickness of burger that I'm talking about. Burgers.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, cut it open, see where it's at, because you're not using wireless thermometers.
That is a waste of time. To cut open a burger after 30 seconds on each side, you know it's not going to be done.
Would you have done 1 minute each side?
I did, like, 2 minutes.
Well, I'd rather undercook it and then throw it back on than...
So, I do, like, 2 minutes on the one side.
Okay.
The other side's going to be less.
Yeah, well, there's one way of cooking burgers, which I don't agree with, but if you're just straight grilling them... Oh, shit, there's my pickle. I thought it was on the ground. Okay. So, put the burger on the grill.
Yeah.
You wait till the top of that burger changes color to the color you want it to be.
Yeah.
Flip it over. The other side's probably going to be burnt.
If you're talking about on a grill, then yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah.
You have a lot more surrounding heat.
There's surrounding heat, but, like, there's, like, indirect heat. There's, which, mind you,
I had direct heat.
Yeah. Direct heat, different.
I also have an electric stove. It's not the best. It's actually pretty shitty.
Yeah, like, I'm talking about flame broil, so.
Yes.
All right, man. It's 10:30, so I'm going to call it in 10-15 minutes or whatever. We're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work on these fries a little bit, but, I'm going home and I'm going to sleep, so.
It's gonna... I had a third topic. It was Cowboy Bebop, Saints Row. Suicide Squad.
Really good, right?
Yeah. Amazing. Mm-hmm. It was actually decent.
Yeah. And you know what sucks? It's one of the early ones that took a bullet from the pandemic. Because I really think that if this movie came out last year, it would have been bigger than what it was.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure. But I think because
it came out on HBO Max at the same time.
Yeah, it did. And I think that's what the majority of people saw it on.
Probably. I saw it that way.
But I don't know. I don't think they're going to stop making Suicide Squad movies.
Not after this one.
But here's the thing, though. Unless they have James Gunn or if they have, which, by the way, he did a masterful job of telling us, like, a very corporate story in a very non-corporate way.
He killed it.
Yeah, as best as he possibly could.
So, the movie,
let me throw this in because I say this every time. I want to see the Ayers cut of the original movie.
Why?
Because, like, I know that movie is probably not as good, but, like, if we got the Snyder cut.
The Snyder cut was worse.
Yes.
No, it was worse.
Yes and no.
No, it was worse.
It was way more Zack Snyder than the original.
No, it made less sense.
It made less sense. I know because we've had this conversation.
You can go through the Joss version after seeing the Snyder cut and like that change makes more sense now.
Okay. Yeah, they made it shorter and sweeter, like shorter and sweeter. They're not necessarily better.
Well, the Zack Snyder version would not have been 4 hours the first time around.
Exactly.
So Zack didn't make it shorter.
Yeah. So the Snyder cut was.
It was so unbelievably stupid.
If we got
the scenes that he left in.
If we got 10% less slow motion, I think we could have shaved a half an hour off of that movie.
Not even. There's that.
Yeah.
But there's also the. You got the guy walking. He's walking to the bank. He's walking up the stairs to the bank. He's walking through the front door of the bank. He's walking up those in-flight stairs. He's walking. All this walking. Walking, walking. Like, if we didn't actually see him take every step, mm-hmm. we wouldn't know how he got there.
When
there's so much wasted time. Not even counting the slow-mo.
When they agreed to do the Snyder cut, and they gave Zack Snyder final cut of the movie, because that's why it happened that way, because he said, I will do it for free, but I want full creative control.
Uh-huh.
Which, it still cost the studio an extra $20 million, give or take.
Oh, but, 70.
Yeah. But in terms of, I'm going to be Zack Snyder. Like, that was full Zack Snyder. I think it was even more Zack Snyder than Army of the Dead.
I didn't see Army of the Dead.
It's not great.
I'm shocked.
Well, no, because Zack Snyder did some Zack Snyder's things in that movie, but here's the problem, though. It looks great. Doesn't read well. Characters are pretty flat, but here's the great thing, though. It's the worst remake of Predators of all time. Because did you see the Red Letter Media cover of it?
I might have. I don't remember.
So,
is this a movie where they like CG'd a whole actress?
Yeah, because Chris D'Elia got caught sleeping around all over the place to the point where I think... His defense of himself was, and this is fairly recently that his defense of himself came out, legal and consensual. Which doesn't sound that bad, but when you think about, like, all right, the absolute minimum bars that I'm defending myself in, it was legal and consensual.
Okay.
So, apparently, like, one of the...
What more could you ask for?
I'll put it to you this way. If your friend said, dude, I had some legal and consensual sex this weekend, your first thought is, great, that's, like, the standard, right? It's like, then you realize, like, he's saying up front, I had legal and consensual sex, because I think, and I can't say this for certain, because I think it's still in the courts, but I think one of the times that he hooked up with a fan was, now this is, like, the less creepy stuff that he did.
Is it creepy to hook up with a fan?
Like, say a girl messages him, hey, I'm coming, you're playing in my city, do you want to meet up?
You guys are you going to take them home?
Oh, yes, I will, thank you. I'm stealing an onion ring first.
You can have the rest of them if you want.
I'm good. Well, so. Alright, thank you. So, Chris D'Elia, I think this is the story that everyone heard about first. Like, a girl messaging him, it's like, hey, you're in my city, do you want to meet up? Sure. Where you at? Oh, by the way, I'm 17. Come see me when you're 18. Good job, Chris.
I kind of remember that.
Now, comes out later, though, that because legal and consensual, there are certain states where the age of consent is less than 18.
Okay.
And, like, you know how you feel when you hear about those guys that go to Thailand or whatever because, like, there's opportunities to, like for what would be considered a minor in your country? Like, that's what they're going for, to get laid by, like, some girl, it's like Thai girl or whatever. Like, that is the kind of feeling everyone had about Chris. Like,
because they were 17?
I think the girl was 15 or 16 when...
I don't know any state where it's legal.
Connecticut.
Legal?
It's the age of consent.
What's the Romeo law there?
I don't know.
It's probably not 30 or 40.
Yeah, I'm pretty
That's
sure.
not legal.
And that's been his defense, and that's what people have been talking about, but that's it. The other thing, too, is, like the proof of it. Like, that. So, what I've just mentioned could be complete horseshit brought up by, maybe Chris D'Elia has standards.
Anytime somebody accuses somebody of a crime in Hollywood, I instantly disbelieve them because they went to Twitter first. I will believe... innocent until proven guilty.
Well, there are certain cases where that really doesn't pan out.
That is the court system.
Harvey Weinstein. Which, by the way, like...
Isn't he in prison?
Yeah, now. Because, yeah. Well, he got convicted of rape on certain charges, and everyone knew he was a pussy hound to the point where, like, his Comedy Central roast, everyone was talking about how all the women have to be aware that Harvey Weinstein was going to try and get in their pants.
Okay.
But the, so it was like sort of an open secret that he was, like, but here's the thing though.
That is, like, I'm not going to defend Harvey Weinstein, who is clearly a horrible person.
Oh, yeah.
But uh-huh. A bunch of catty assholes in Hollywood don't make a crime.
Oh, yeah. I'm a, well.
They can easily also just make shit up.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to Fatty Arbuckle.
Like, they could be saying stuff about Harvey Weinstein that is completely, like, in the imagination, mm-hmm. or it could be completely true. I don't know. I'm not legally bound by the law to find out.
You need a...
However, we have innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, yeah.
Which people are quickly forgetting when Twitter mobs are the end result of any accusation these days. And it's because of the Twitter mobs that I've become even more adamant in innocent until proven guilty.
Well, the other one was, well, like...
Dishwasher in the kitchen.
Here, I'll take those.
You gonna take those?
How many of those?
All of them. Just throw them in there. That'll be my lunch tomorrow. Thank you. And plus, I heat.
I'm very cold.
Anything else I can bring you tonight?
Check, please.
Check.
Yeah.
I hate seeing food wasted. Like, I.
Yeah, me like, too. But.
But the. Oh no. Like, here's the thing though. Like, the funny thing about D'Elia, and it's not funny, but it's hilarious.
Okay.
Twice played a pedophile. Once in the recently where it was in the show You. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did not.
Then in, Workaholics, I think episode 1 or something. Like, he's the really cool guy that, like, they're trying to, like, catfish a predator and, like, to catch predator style. The guy shows up to the house with video games and a Dreamcast to play the video games on. And, like, it's like, god damn, he is just the coolest guy. And then, Oh no,
not sure why it's relevant.
It's not relevant, but
okay.
The
like the but the internet never forgets anything. So if you played a pedophile really good and then you get busted for it, it's like, God damn, he just showed up and played himself.
A lot of actors play pedophiles.
I know, but like the fact that he, well,
what's the name of that?
Thank you, gentlemen.
What's the name of that guy? Crap, I can't remember anything else. He was in one episode of The Entourage. And it was kind of funny. There are so many actors that go in and out of Entourage as themselves.
Yep.
And then there are actors that are well known. Well, you know, well recognized.
Yeah.
That go in and play characters in the Entourage. And you don't really know what's what.
Uh-huh.
And this is one such character where I thought he was playing himself and he was not.
What character?
Have you seen The Entourage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Entourage, yeah.
The really sketchy guy who wanted to have sex with somebody. It was either, God, I forget everybody's name. The Irish guy, the friend.
The brother or the friend?
The friend.
So
the brother wasn't Irish.
Well, are you thinking of Irish as in like actually
the manager
Irish?
Irish?
The manager Irish.
The friend. There's four characters.
Ari?
No.
Not Ari. Okay.
He's not Irish. The Irish guy.
The Irish guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Turtle, who's the only name I remember. The actor.
Donnie.
The brother.
Donnie was the brother, wasn't
sure,
it?
Sure. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't remember names. Aside from Turtle.
Turtle.
Weird.
E.
And then there's the one Irish friend, who's like Connor. I forget. Anyway, the actor was like really scummy. Playing a character was like really scummy.
Yeah.
He's like a fat guy.
I know who you're talking about.
He showed up for one episode.
Okay.
And he played that character, but he played it in a way where an actual actor would come in and play themselves. And I was really confused for like the first half of the episode because I was not like I didn't remember the actor's name, and therefore I was like, that's probably his name. He's really hamming up how much of a piece of shit he is. Mm-hmm. And I realized, wait a minute, he's actually supposed to be acting.
Well, that show was interesting in that
I really liked Entourage.
Well, there were so many in jokes on that one where it's just like, you just know there was a whole bunch of people that really wanted to play an industry person that...
If you're finished with your glass, may I have a piece?
Like, you knew that, like, there was actors that were playing real industry people that were, do you listen to Tiger Belly at all, the podcast?
No.
Okay, so Bobby Lee is the guy who does it, he will talk about auditioning at times, and you can just feel the pain that he felt over the years, where it's just like, God damn it, I'm walking down the lot, I'm in a room full of people that all look like me, it's like hi, they're not paying attention to the audition I'm doing. Then the next guy walks in, it's like, what's up, my man? Yo, son of a bitch. They're just gonna give it to their friend. Like, stuff like that. Entourage, you just know that there was a whole bunch of actors that got to like exercise those demons, and just like whatever catharsis they could get out of it, they got.
Yeah. Gabriel Iglesias actually has a bit about that.
Yeah.
Where he got called in for an interview.
Uh-huh.
For
Magic Mike. Yep.
Yeah. And he's like all nervous and he's like prepping for the part. He has he has the lines he's got
to
read.
And they're just going to give it to him.
Yeah, he walks in and they're like, hey, Fluffy!
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend.
Will do. You enjoy your night.
And then they just hung out for like the hour. He didn't read any lines. They're like, yeah, we were just always, we wanted you. We had to set up an interview. So that happens.
All right. I am tipping $37. I'm $10, so.
It's so just like PayPal, Venmo, whatever.
Give Zelle.
Why do you keep changing it? I have Google Pay.
I have Google Pay.
Use Google Pay, please. I'm tired of downloading apps for my friends so that we can all keep the book straight.
It's not an app, actually. It's like your bank.
It's probably a banking service. I'm aware of that, yeah. But...
I don't have a Zelle app. I just...
I'm pretty sure there is a Zelle app.
There might be, but I've never used it through a Zelle app. I use it through my bank app.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your bank app might be Zelle capable. Who knows? Anyway.
Probably is. Like, I think majority of them are. That's what the advertisement says.
Yeah.
What were we talking about before D'Elia came up?
Suicide Squad?
Yeah, okay, Suicide Squad.
Actors were really great.
They were really great.
The character writing was phenomenal.
Yep.
The rest of the movie was okay.
Okay, so, not for me, but I really appreciate it because it was like Polka Dot Man's like thing with his mom.
Was great.
He was great. He was awesome. I was so like heartbroken. Like I knew it was either going to be him or Ratcatcher that got
Ratcatcher. Ratcatcher was also great.
Everyone was great. Like Idris Elba. Like
he was fantastic.
Like I really appreciate like the joke that he made in the movie. Like where it's like he's just playing Deadshot, but he's not Deadshot. And like we're not gonna like really do anything that's gonna really like I think Bloodsport was like one of those guys that was in one issue for like two things.
Oh yeah, so was Polka Dot Man.
No, Polka Dot Man actually had
they dug Polka Dot Man out of the vault.
Yeah, but I know. But here's the thing though about Polka Dot Man, he has such an iconically bad power and suit that everyone like, oh, there's a Polka Dot Man. I am writing him. Like it's like King Shark or whatever. King Shark was.
I actually knew King Shark before this movie, so
this might be
that.
My favorite version of King Shark.
Oh, it's so good!
Like the fact that it's like Sylvester Stallone is the voice.
I didn't know it was Sylvester Stallone until people afterwards were like, "Yeah, Sylvester Stallone was really good in that movie." Like, I didn't see Sylvester Stallone.
So when they when you found that out and you listened to it afterward, was it the only thing you could hear?
No, it just kind of clicked at some point.
Yep.
People were like, Sylvester Stallone is really good. And nobody ever told me that it was King Shark.
Yep.
And it just, at one point it was like remembering a King Shark line.
Oh, you thought he was the general in disguise? Like
no,
heavy makeup?
I just had no idea that Sylvester Stallone was in the movie. And then that nugget of knowledge was in my head. And then I was thinking about King Shark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like King Shark saying something.
Yep.
Like, and it's like, wait a minute.
Well,
let me put these two Legos together.
That
sounds like Sylvester Stallone.
I really appreciated the movie. However, I will say this though, I called a lot of the stuff that happened. Like when they were on the plane to go there, I was like,
the beginning, the misdirect. That was I loved that.
It was a wonderful misdirect, but it was. I saw it coming.
Arm fall off, boy.
Like the detachable kid.
Yeah, that was it.
The detachable and I was like, all right, if they're killing off I don't think you're killing off Harley in the first scene because
okay,
the fact that everybody.
But I hate Harley in this movie.
Really?
So much.
Like
most people.
I feel like she got tacked on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll say this though: she had a great character moment with like it was a long bit where it's like, oh, this South American general is just gonna marry me off or whatever. It's gonna be fun, and then she does the whole monologue,
the red flag monologue.
Yeah,
yeah, that was good.
That was good.
That was good. Harley has a lot of good moments,
like
that are completely devoid of her being Harley.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The red flag one was okay.
The javelin one was okay.
No, the javelin could literally have been anybody.
No, not the javelin, like the javelin bit.
Which javelin bit? Like, the one where she's going through the hallway and there's flowers and
that I could have left behind, but the
yeah, that was awful.
Where it's like she's like javelin dies.
Yeah.
He's like, you are the only one worthy, which by the way, I thought he was gonna she was gonna walk away, and then he was gonna like last words be like, she's thinking it's some great thing that she's on. It's like, you are the only one. All right, I'll take this. Walks away. But then his last words are like, suck my dick. Like I feel like that was like where he was gonna go with it. Then she uses that thing to stab Starro eventually.
So, yeah. Like, it was a long bit to pay off, but it was okay with.
Yeah, the only reason that Harley is in the movie is Javelin Holder.
Yeah.
Which you could have just had Javelin.
Yeah.
And which, not had Harley.
Yeah.
The train wreck mm-hmm. that no writer has been able to do right. Because the original Harley from the show is two-dimensional and not that good. She is really charming. Mostly because of the voice actress. Actual character is toxic waste.
I'll put it to you this way. Like, there's been writers that have done stuff with her that I don't necessarily... Like, I was a fan of up to a certain point until it gets... Like I said...
I've never seen an incarnation of Harley that was...
In the film or just, like, in anything?
In anything.
Okay, read her when she's written by Paul Dini.
In
the comics?
Story.
Okay, so there's one from years ago called Harley and Ivy, which is, like...
I know the Harley and Ivy things.
Okay.
I haven't read them front to back, but, like, those pages get posted all the time.
Yeah, but...
So it's like that movie. You've seen the whole movie, but not in order.
Well, here's the thing about comics, and American comics particularly. Yeah. They're meant to be, in eras.
In what?
Eras. Like, the characters, they have their eras. Like, they change for a little bit, then they change back. Yeah.
Got it.
Not errors, eras.
Yes.
So, like Superman with a mullet. Like,
yeah.
From, like, 1985 to, like, 1994, like, Superman had a mullet. It made sense at the time. Trying to think, what's another one?
What's your point about Harley, though?
Harley is a character that's like sort of like Deadpool. It's like she.
So Deadpool is usually I like Deadpool in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I like Harley in one thing.
Yeah. So, like,
where
like
she's a side character that is sometimes given lines.
She works best as a foil, or a companion, or a supporting character. Like having her own like thing works for a certain amount of time. Because, like, it's just like.
I think she works in the animated series because she was created by the animated series.
And well, like, and plus, and, like, there's a return to the mean. There's a return to the average in comics. Like, good example. You remember Dan Slott's run on Spider-Man?
Not specifically.
Superior Spider-Man.
Okay.
But he had one before Superior Spider-Man. I think he had one after Superior Spider-Man. But it's like, starts off with Peter Parker. It's like, seemingly kills off Peter Parker. Doc Ock becomes Spider-Man
yeah.
in Peter Parker's body. It's like, ooh, how are we going to get out of this? And returns to the mean, that no matter what, if Peter Parker was coming back, they're going to one more day this shit, or they're going to do something, deal
I'm
with the devil.
I'm struggling to see how this relates to Harley.
It's the same issue because
wow.
Okay, so like right now it's like she started off as the Joker's girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's all she was. Then the first time she gets a series, okay.
See, okay, I think I can explain this better. She was created by the animated series
yeah.
for the animated series to be Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, but here's the great
thing.
She
is a comic relief character for that show.
Mm-hmm.
And people take her and try to make Jar Jar Binks the animated series. Jar Jar Binks the comic book. Jar Jar Binks in Suicide Squad. It doesn't work.
No, she has worked. Like
when?
Up to a certain point. Like, she's had her own series so many times.
And they've all been horrible failures.
No. Not by comic standards. Like, maybe by your standards, sure.
Okay, yeah. But, by comic standards. The comic standards that have been going down the drain since the 80s.
Yeah. Listen, I can't deny that comics is a changing market, and... Like if you thought newspapers got hit hard by the internet, comics was worse because, like,
not manga. Manga's doing great.
Manga has different issues.
Yeah, but they're doing great.
It's a different ecosystem and it's a different. Well,
The top 20 selling Western comics are manga.
Like from Japan or
from Japan.
So
Demon Slayer is at the top of the list of the American comics.
Okay, I know what you're saying. You're not wrong, but the way the comics is set up, it's not set up to compete with that.
No, it's not set up to compete. You're correct.
It's not
competing with anybody.
Well, because here's the other thing too. I think the top two series in Jump aren't in Jump. Everything was excellent.
Yep.
Thanks.
You read Spy Family?
I have.
I don't think that's print first. I think that is a digital only at this point. I think it's on Jump Plus.
I think you're correct.
Then there's another one where it's like...
I would hardly call that.
Like, Kaiju 8 or something?
I have not read that.
But you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So that one is digital only. Because I was watching... it was either Super Eye Patch Wolf or Your Mother's Basement that was doing this video.
I stopped watching Mother's Basement a long time ago.
Well, check out Super Eye Patch Wolf. I think it was him more so. Like, I know they both cover similar topics, but what I've been waiting for American comics to do, Jump did it first, and it paid off immensely. American comics has been predicated on the direct market. And newsstands. Newsstands are maybe 10%. Direct market is 90%. Then you have trades, which got popular like 20, 25 years ago, in that it's like up until a certain point, they never reprinted, like in the sense that they collected into a book. Like there was books beforehand, but they were few and far between. Then Marvel comes along, it's like every story we publish in the floppies, we're collecting. So they have just like a glut of fucking books out there that they overprint, and then you go to any comics convention, you're going to find a bin that's like $5 trades of some of these books. Now, so the direct market was failed by the publishers in the sense that when opportunities came along to sell to everybody, DC and Marvel both were only selling to these guys. So it
Diamond?
Not quite. But it turns into Diamond eventually.
Okay.
So to a certain point where the market shrinks, like because when you have comic shops that are buying from their competitors, their own books that are marked up. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, that's a system that's bound to fail. Then you have, what you're talking about is, there was at one point three distribution systems for comics. It was Diamond, which was, like, mind you, there was more, but I'm just, like, this is right before the crash of Marvel.
Yeah.
There was three. There was Diamond, Heroes World, and... I'm blanking on the third one, but that one goes out of business. Marvel buys Heroes World so that it would be...
I don't even know what Heroes World is.
Well, it's right before Marvel went bankrupt, they bought this thing, which was going to be their sole distribution for comics, and then that goes under. So Marvel files for bankruptcy. Then it gets bought up by Ike Perlmutter, who is now, because he owned Marvel, he's the largest stakeholder in Disney, I believe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because of that. And he had the same idea that Disney had, but he just did it on a smaller scale because Ike Perlmutter bought Marvel.
I'm still waiting for Disney to just say, all right, Marvel Comics is closed.
That's everyone's biggest fear. It's been their biggest fear since the buyout in 2008.
As long as they can keep in the black, they have no reason to shut them down.
No, not even that, because the reason why I bought Marvel was because he ran Toy Fair, so or Toy Biz or whatever his toy
I'm
company was.
I'm saying that Marvel Comics staying in the black.
Yeah.
Is the only reason they're still around.
Probably,
and
yeah.
They stay in the black through the scummiest of tactics.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's been 6 issues. How about a new issue one?
Yep.
Let's get that issue one bump. Even though the bump keeps going down.
Hey, you know what? Like, I've studied enough capitalism to know that it's going to come back and bite them in the ass eventually. The market...
Sure.
Like, diminishing returns. So, but the... With Ike Perlmutter bought Marvel so that he would own all the Marvel IP for toys. So it made sense for him.
Yeah.
Then Marvel Studios comes along and they make 3 movies.
Which 3?
Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Captain America and Iron Man 2. Or Thor.
No,
it was Incredible Hulk. It was Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, and Captain America.
Iron Man, then Ed Norton Incredible Hulk, which was just scrubbed from history.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah. And then it was, I believe, Thor, and then Captain America. If I remember this correctly, the order.
I don't think Thor... I'm trying to think if Thor was... I think Thor was the third one. I think it was Thor, Iron Man, and Hulk. I think Captain America was the next year, but I could be mistaken about that. I think it was the same year as Iron Man 2.
The only reason I remember that Incredible Hulk came out after Iron Man is Iron Man is in the stinger.
Yeah. Well, Incredible Hulk was the second Marvel movie, and then Disney bought them.
Yeah.
Because it went... like
there wasn't going to be another Hulk.
There was going to be a Captain America, Iron Man 2, and then it went into Avengers. Mm. Like, that was the... Like, that was the whole purpose. Like, because... There are so many stories I could tell you right now about Marvel selling off different versions of the same character to different people.
Oh, yeah, like how Sony still has Spider-Man.
Well, you want to hear a funny one about Spider-Man? Because that's what I'm referring to.
I probably know it, but go ahead.
So the licensing department at Marvel in the 80s decided to sell Spider-Man the rights.
And Fantastic Four.
They sold Spectacular Spider-Man to A. Meanwhile, Amazing Spider-Man got sold to B. Then, Peter Parker Spider-Man got sold to C. Now, you just sold the same character to 3 different people. Now, the question becomes, who gets to make the Spider-Man movie? James Cameron was going to make a Spider-Man movie at one point, but the rights were so fucked up from Marvel in the 80s or 90s that we didn't get it till 2001.
I think a 90s James Cameron Spider-Man would have been awful.
Listen, if we're talking about Terminator 2 Spider-Man...
Yeah, that doesn't work with Spider-Man.
It would be the... greatest failure of a movie ever, because I know he would have figured out how to do Spider-Man with a minimum of CG and then a lot of practical effects.
Well, that's just because of how CG worked back then.
Well, he would have used industrial lights and magic, because that's what he used for Terminator 2.
Yeah.
They would have given him their best shot, and it would have been groundbreaking at the time, and we would look back at it now and be, I don't know. It's 11 o'clock, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me out. I really appreciate it. Give me something to look forward to today. Peace.
Yep.